All right, welcome back to the Young Turks pre-election coverage. Omar Benson Miller joins us. Omar's in Ballers. He's Charles Green there. And he's also a voice of Raph on Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which is
they changed the name. It's all right. Yeah. Don't worry about it. It's called the Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles now. Yeah, something different than it was before.
Yeah, very different. I can't keep up. You got Advantage Omar on Tennis Channel, and you got a sports podcast, Ozone.
Yep. Yeah.
All right.
So we're doing that, but let's talk about these politics.
Okay. Yes. So you know, you mentioned during the break that you're more into California, which makes sense because we live in California.
Yeah.
And one race we almost never talk about is the California Senate race. So we're going to talk about Senate races in a second, the ones that are really tight. To the best of my knowledge, and I have to confess, I haven't checked in on a while. The Feinstein race is not that tight,
no.
But look, we had Kevin DeLeon a couple of times, and obviously during the primaries, I say obviously if you guys were following the Young Turks, we support Allison Hartson in the primaries. She did not make the final two. Well, the final two are Democrats, and DeLeon is definitely more progressive than Feinstein. So you should at least know that. And it's everybody's call on which way they want to go. But Omar, any thoughts on what's happening in California?
Yeah, you know, for me, honestly, and we can start at the Senate race. I believe that one of the positive things that 45 is going to have come about, hopefully, is people understanding the need for term limits across the board. And me personally, I'm a supporter of term limits for every public office. I don't think anyone should be a career politician. I don't think that that's positive for the democracy. And you know, here in California, since I've been able to vote, since I've been eligible to vote, I voted for Dianne Feinstein since I was 18 years old. And I actually think that she's done a wonderful job. But I, as you said, I don't think the race is even close. But I believe that we need to advance. I think that we need to continually progress. Kevin is a young man. He's a fighter out there. And yeah, there's no doubt about it. Senator Feinstein has a lot more experience and ability to navigate some of the division that's out there. But honestly, across the board, I really feel like it's time for new blood. And I think that's why we're seeing so many people come out in, you know, in droves for early voting.
Yeah, she's up 10, 14, 19, and 6 in the four polls released in the last 2 days.
Sounds like LeBron
but she's
James
under,
numbers.
That's right.
14, 19,
it was 10
and
14.
It's a great
19,
stat line. Rebound,
absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Wow, he had 6 blocks.
He said, geez, he's a guard.
All right. And well, his nickname is KDL, which sounds like a basketball nickname, DeLeon.
Oh, Kevin DeLeon, totally yeah, it does, yeah.
Okay, so let's go to some of the close Senate races. Oh, by the way, speaking of California, you were at a fundraiser for Andy Bryce?
Yeah, a friend of mine, Bradley Whitford, had a fundraiser for Randy Bryce at his home. And so got to go there and meet Randy and talk to him. I'm sure you're a fan of his.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
Yeah, just super cool guy. And like, it's just awesome to meet people from, because I'm used to talking to some people from California that are in the mix, but it's neat to meet people from from the middle of the country and from all over the place that are running in different races. So yeah, it's fascinating.
So for a little while, progressives got concerned about Randy Bryce. I don't know why, because we were so people are so worried that folks are going to sell out that like they're overly vigilant about it, right? But no, Randy did no such thing, right? So he came in as an iron worker, real guy looking to fight for the average American. And he's heading into the election the same exact way. So he was on the show about a week ago or so. And another thing that he said, we talked about one of his statements earlier where he said, I'm looking forward to getting an F rating from the NRA. The other thing he said was, he said, look, Paul Ryan spent his whole time here over the last decade or so trying to repeal and replace Obamacare. Well, I'm going to repeal and replace him and the guy who's now trying to replace him. So he's kind of a literal tough guy.
I like Bryce.
I like him.
And I like the tough talk.
Yeah, I love the tough talk.
He's a blue-collar dude, and it's like he can just talk the way people talk. You know, and I think that resonates with people. When you're just a working-class person and you talk on people's level, it's like people are like, oh, you're just like me.
Yeah, and so you know why? Because he's not faking it. He actually is an iron worker, right? And so, same show, I had Richard Ojeda on, who's another tough guy from West Virginia. So I love these guys. And I said, what do you want to do about money in politics? He said, and I never heard this in my life. He said, I want to put body cams on lobbyists.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Right. So I showed my 8-year-old son, which I probably shouldn't have done, Ojeda ads. I probably shouldn't have done it because they're not even PG-13. Like he's coming super strong. He talks about dead people on his back. And he says, because his Republican opponent tried to smear him, saying that he's against the wars. And he's like, yeah, I'm against it. He has 16 medals. He's a veteran, several tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. And he said, I got the names of my dead friends tattooed on my back. Mm. And then he legendarily said, Carol Miller, how dare she, right? So I showed my kid and he's going around the house. No matter what we do, he goes, how dare you? He's going, Carol Miller.
He could play, Ojeda could play the roles that Arlie Ermey played. Like he could play a drill sergeant. Like he's just instantly scary.
Yeah, yeah,
I feel
definitely.
Like too, if you've been to war, you have every right to be against war.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah. Yeah. The distance from war allows a lot of comfort. Right. You know, I think that's why it's so important for everybody to go vote, because we have the power, strangely enough, to influence so many people's lives around the world. And we don't even vote.
Yeah.
For the most part, we don't.
We give that power away.
It's unbelievable.
Isn't it? I mean, so American democracy is arguably the most powerful force on earth. And it's what beat the fascists last time, right? And here we are again in some ways. And so, look, to me, and people think, well, some might think that it's unfair, right? But Latinos don't vote at the same percentage as some of the other demographics in this country, right? African Americans have a really high voting percentage. So do white people, evangelical voters. White evangelical voters have the highest.
Yeah,
their turnout is unbelievable, right? If young people voted at the same level as people above the age of 65, the Republicans would never, ever come close to winning another
election. It would be even better than that. It wouldn't be that they don't come close to winning a national election. There wouldn't be this Republican Party.
They'd get wiped out.
They would be the whole country would move to the left. They'd be a fairly moderate party, and the Democrats would be a solidly left-wing party, and that's where we'd be negotiating from.
Yeah, so young people have got to go vote. So that's not controversial. People are UCLing at young people, right? But if you're Latino in this country, they're spitting in your face. They're going after your family.
Daily.
Yeah, and they're demonizing you. My God, you have got to go vote. You've got to go vote for yourself, for your family, and for the rest of us.
Yeah, but Trump knows that, and Republicans know that. And that's why, I was listening to some radio reports today that some of the troops that are coming near the southern border are making their, they're worried that some of the presence is going to be felt near polling places, which is going to send a dangerous message to mixed families, not mixed racially, but where some members of the family are illegal and some members of the family are legal. So that the idea would be like, I'm not going anywhere near anyone wearing a uniform. Trump today at 7:41 this morning, so it was probably his 30th tweet of the day. Law enforcement has been strongly notified to watch closely for any illegal voting, that's in caps, which may take place in Tuesday's election or early voting. Anyone caught will be subject to the maximum criminal penalties allowed by law. Thank you. It's the goddamn president of the United States threatening people, scaring them not to vote.
Trying to intimidate brown people.
That's all it is.
That's right.
Yeah. And Rob mentioned it earlier, and actually I'm glad I remembered because I wanted to come back to that topic, that what you said about Dodge City. So if you don't know, Dodge City is, and there's no reason why you would know, is a rare majority minority city in Kansas. It's about 60% Latino. So they only had one voting location in the whole city. It's already an absolute injustice. It's about 10% of the number of voting areas they have in other parts of Kansas. Why? Because they don't want Latinos to vote. And they put it next to the White Country Club in Dodge City. That was the past. Then it got worse. So they're like, no, we don't want them voting at all. So they moved it out of the city, the voting location, and a mile away from the nearest bus stop. Okay? Because they don't want Latinos to vote. So when you see that, look, again, African Americans do a great job of, when there's voter suppression, going, not on our watch, right? And they go and they vote in droves. This is statistically a fact, it's based on a lot of the elections that we have seen. And so, and I remember great anecdotal stories as well, when somebody would say, hey, I gotta go to work, and it was Obama's first election in 2008. And other African Americans in line were like, not today. Okay, get back in line. We gotta vote. We gotta vote, right? It's just encouragement, right? So in places like Dodge City, you can't let them intimidate you like that. Okay, then we're gonna charter a bus. We're gonna do whatever it takes, and we're gonna go to that. We gotta walk a mile. We'll walk a mile. But you can't let them do that ad that they just ran. You know, smearing Latinos and immigrants in the way that they did. And ad so racist that some TV stations now, belatedly, but saying they won't run it because it's obviously over the top racist and totally counterfactual. It's not true, right? And
most importantly, let's really hammer on that.
And right after it airs, during Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, then we're gonna stop running it. But first, we're gonna get it in during the biggest football game in 5 years. But then after that,
and then we're
out.
Against it. We're against
certainly
it.
Once the election's over, we're definitely not gonna.
Oh, Fox pulled it. Okay, well then we'll pull it.
Yeah, then we'll pull it. Right? Very bold.
Yeah, it's just disturbing. I mean, it's disturbing because now we've gone into this alternate universe where you can bend the truth, and it really doesn't matter. I mean, the president of the United States just said that he tells the truth when he can.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's acceptable. This is how far. And one of the things is we keep getting farther and farther away from zero, you know, so that we keep going so far into the wrong direction as far as the lies about truth goes. I'm not even here to tell anybody how to vote. I just want people to vote. Because just like you said, the individuals who are the white evangelicals, the individuals who are of a certain ilk in society are going to vote. And it's going to be convenient for them to vote. It's convenient for me to vote in my station, in my area, because I live in a good area. I can actually walk to the polls. Yep. There's no line. Right. There's a, you know what I mean? Yep. Nobody's actively stopping me from voting. Maybe they will after they see this, but by and large, nobody's stopping me from voting. People are, they want you to vote. Honestly, I believe that we should have voting on Saturday. Why do we vote on a Tuesday?
Absolutely.
This is totally and completely based in getting a smaller number of people to vote.
That's a fact too, yeah. And it's not like they missed it. They're not like, oh, Saturday, why didn't we think of that, right? Like, it's on Tuesday for a reason. The poorer you are, the more you need that job. And
100%.
So it's harder to vote on a weekday, right? Because you gotta go to work. And so if you're poor, middle class, et cetera, that's part of it. There's a lot of different parts of it where they try to drive down voters. And I just want to say about the lines. Like, you know, sometimes you see the lines, and a lot of times you see them on college campuses, these giant lines that snake through. That's not an accident either. They, just like we talked about in Dodge City, they take away polling stations so that even if you go to vote, it'll be a giant line. And they know that a certain percentage of people will either be discouraged, won't have time, have to go to work, etc. And it's not an accident that that's in colleges that you see all those lines, because they don't want young people to vote because they vote Democratic. So they have rigged the system in 1,000 different ways to advantage Republicans, and they still might lose.
And just think about, they're all over the country, there are these people, and they run to get on election boards, and they get on the election boards, and they get on the election board. Like, if you got on an election board, anybody at this table gets on an election board, you'd be like, let's get to work getting people to vote, right? I'm on the election board. Yeah. This is great. And they get on the election board and say, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna shut down the days you can vote, and I'm gonna close down a bunch of polling places. Like, what kind of a sick, dark heart do you have to do that? But all over the country, they're doing it. And they are all the people doing that are
Republicans. Ask Kemp out in Georgia.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is what he's doing. He's actively repressing and trying to suppress votes.
And in North Dakota too. Like, what is the latest with the home address situation for Native Americans? Like, there was some sort of thing where some people were getting ID cards.
A lot of people have been getting ID cards to vote, but obviously, no question, some people won't. Right. I mean, these are people who've had a PO box forever, and now if you have a PO box, you can't vote. Right.
Yeah, it's in North Dakota. That's the law that they passed. And again, not an accident. It's not like P.O. boxes, P.O. boxes. No, they don't want Native Americans to vote.
That's all it is.
And if you're thinking, and a lot of people do, and this is a common mistake, and they know it and they take advantage of it, well, what's the big deal about having a photo ID? Why don't you just go get a photo ID, right? Well, 25% of African Americans in this country don't have photo IDs. A lot of them live in large cities where they don't need cars. There's plenty of poor people in the country that don't own cars.
Who would go to the DMV if you didn't have a license?
If you
didn't have a car, why would you go to the DMV?
Yeah,
it's a division of motor vehicles.
And it's going to be literally the worst experience of your life, short of your parents dying, right? You're going to be like, you know, I'm just going to go to the DMV. I don't drive, but I'm going to wait in that line anyway. I'm going to try and figure out. Is it window 8? Yeah. No, of course not. And that's the intent. That is the sole intent. It is not to deal with voter fraud. It is totally to discourage people from voting.
Yeah, photo ID both is a giant hassle to get, but also costs money. It's the equivalent of a poll tax, which should be illegal and unconstitutional in this country.
Right.
It is, but they do it anyway.
Right, found a way around it.
All right, so before we run out of time, we do it, let's as quickly as we can, let's do some of those close Senate races and see where they are. Ben, Missouri, that's obviously McCaskill in that race, running against Hawley. And
super close. Poll today or this week, maybe yesterday, has Hawley up 2, Hawley up 4, Hawley up 3 in the last 3 polls. I thought I had seen them. There's a McCaskill poll up 3 that I had seen this week too. So I don't know where that one is, but there's a so it's basically tied.
And so as I look,
there's a poll today, McCaskill up 2. Okay.
So this will be a common theme. Let's keep going. Nevada.
Nevada was just moved, I think, in the Cook report to leans Dem because she is up slightly. She's up a poll today, an Emerson College poll, which gets a B-plus rating, had her up 5 points. But there was another poll out today, less reliable, had Heller barely up less than 1. So incredibly close. The average has Jackie Rosen up a couple of votes over Dean Heller. Hard for me to believe that there is a scenario where if the Democrats win the House, Democrats have a good day in the House, Jackie Rosen will beat Dean Heller. I mean, in 2016, in a disastrous election day for Democrats, every Democrat won in Nevada. So that state is moved further and further blue, even when the rest of the country has gone in a different direction. If she can't beat Dean Heller, who then, after resisting Trump for a while, now has completely, like Ron DeSantis, tied himself to Donald Trump, and even Trump was out there for a rally. I'd be stunned if Jackie Rosen didn't win that race. If Jackie Rosen doesn't win, then we had a bad, bad day.
Well, let's just speak for a second about how dark things are going to get if these polling numbers are off and somehow or another you get a shocker like you did in 2016, because all of these politicians have tied themselves to the Trump train. And they're going to double and triple down that dark hole of blatant racism and xenophobia and borderline fascism, sometimes open fascism. And if it proves that it works, there is no stopping. We haven't even seen the drop in a bucket in comparison to what it will become for every commercial in between football games.
If Democrats win 18 seats or whatever the number is, 22, that leaves this at 218, 217 Republicans, and they get a seat or two in the Senate, Donald Trump will have more political power on Wednesday morning than he had ever had. And he'll use it.
Yeah, I mean, I worry about like this like secret wave of Trump voters that when they're polled, they say, oh, no, I would never vote for Trump. No, yeah, of course not. And then like they go to the polls and they're like, oh, hell yeah, I'm voting for
100%.
Trump. Like, I think there's a lot of that, you know.
There is. That's the
suburban
it's called the Bradley effect. It's named after Tom Bradley, longtime mayor of Los Angeles, because when he ran for governor, maybe against Duke Majan, I can't remember who he ran against, but he was way ahead in the polls. He was 4, 5, 6 points ahead in the polls, and then Election Day came around, and it turned out people were like, oh, I'm definitely voting for Tom Bradley. I'm like, definitely not voting for the black guy.
Right. Yeah. That Tom Bradley?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Let's just get him a terminal at LAX.
He'll be fine. He'll be fine. He wants that anyway.
That's all he really wants.
That is an annoyingly busy terminal, to be fair.
Oh, my goodness.
So, unfortunately, that's Omar made a good point. That's unfortunate, but let me explain.
No, I'm sorry.
Great point.
Right.
Come on, Omar.
So we talked earlier about how Trump will be emboldened, but Omar made a good point there about how it's not just that he'll be emboldened. The Rick DeSantis of the world, who basically called
Rick's a jerk too, though. I know him.
His brother Rick. Oh,
his brother Rick's a terrible guy. Yeah. Hard to work with.
Yeah.
We did an episode of Law and Order. No. Sorry. You're saying
he basically called Gillum a monkey, right?
Yeah.
And if he wins, then the lesson they're going to learn is go more racist.
Go deeper.
Right. And so Katie barred the door, or whatever that saying is from 19.
She's winning, by the way.
05, yeah. Right? For what the Republicans do next time around on the fear mongering, the demagoguing, and the racism if they win this time around.
Yeah, I got a prediction. Even if they lose this time, they're still going to do it next time.
They have, they have to.
That's right.
Now they have no other option.
That's all they have.
Because once you let that, once you let your racist show, oh, check, you should put that away. Your racist is showing. Once that show, it's out. That's it's right. There's no more. You can't hide that anymore.
Racist nobody, anymore. We're racist 2 years ago.
Yeah,
but
exactly. Not racist anymore. Nobody's going to forget that.
But the Republicans do that all the time. I mean, the Southern strategy, oh, that was like a whole couple of years ago, right? When we ran against black people all across the country on purpose. Yeah, sorry about that, but come on, that was now it's worse, but still, right? And so they try to pretend every once in a while they're not. And of course, when you say it, and it's super obvious to everyone who's actually paying attention, they'll say, "How dare you? It's unbelievable!" And that's why I gave Jeffrey Toobin credit on CNN the other day, because he called out the voter fraud of Kris Kobach, who's running for governor in Kansas, and said it's a racist policy that you do to voter suppression. Okay, talking about Dodge and all the other places where he's done voter suppression. And Kris Kobach gave him the standard, "How dare you, sir," right?
Yeah.
And he's like, "I dare because it's true, and here are the facts behind it." So bless his heart. All right, now more Senate races. Arizona, how's Sinema?
Arizona's super interesting too. It's again neck and neck polls today. Sinema plus one, McSally plus one, Sinema plus one, Sinema plus one, McSally plus one. Five polls, all 1 point. I'd say that's a toss up.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And so look, I'm super frustrated by Nevada and Arizona. You could say, "Hey, Cenk, that's your theme. That's why you're saying it." But I say it for this reason: Rosen and Sinema are. People who are more on the corporate establishment side of the Democratic Party. And they thought it was a great idea to run as what they call a pro-business candidate. So that's great if you want to get donor money, but if you want to appeal to people in the middle of the country and actual voters, it doesn't play that well. It's you sound like you're Republican light. Sinema voted with Trump, I think, 61% of the time when she's in the House.
Yeah, I don't think it's quite fair to compare Sinema to Rosen.
Sinema's way worse.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, Sinema is total Republican light. She's in the same category as Manchin, and she's look. I'm going to tell you to vote for her, but she's also a fraud. When she first came in the House, she was came in as a super progressive. Then got in and was just kidding. Now since I'm an incumbent, I'm just going to take all the donor money and become one of the most conservative Democrats in the House. Okay. And in the Democratic Party, in my opinion, in their infinite stupidity, thought, "Oh, that's someone just like a Republican. We should run her." No, you should run someone who's going to excite your base. And then if she loses, they'll blame people like us for pointing it out during the primaries. No, if you ran the person who was an actual progressive, like Ojeda in West Virginia, that's why we talk about him. He closed a 49-point lead. And you know, in all his ads, he talks about this corporation, McKesson, came in here and sold drugs to our people. And they ran these pill mills and they had 5 million. They did it for profit. And they polluted in the streams. They did it for profit. And in his district that Trump won by 49 points, he's tied, right? So that's how you run.
Yeah.
So Sinema shouldn't be that close in Arizona. Arizona's totally winnable. Nevada should not be a question. Hillary won Nevada. Why is that race remotely close?
Because they play it safe. And this is not the time to play it safe.
Yeah, and isn't safe.
It's because it's not safe.
That's right.
It's an illusion that it's safe.
Exactly. And so look, what does Trump do? So he's over the top and it's going to backfire for all the reasons that we talked about. But at least he knows run towards your base, because it isn't about convincing the mythical independent voter, right? It's about getting people to show up. On your side, if people on your side show up, you win. If people on the other side show up, they win. I've seen it now for 20 years in a row. How could they not see it? If 85% of white evangelical voters hadn't showed up, there's no way in the world Donald Trump would have won. If 83% of them had showed up, he wouldn't have won. An astounding 85% of white evangelicals showed up, and 81% of them voted for Donald Trump. So that's how you win elections. At least Trump knows that. He's going over the top on it with all the demagoguing. But we run people like Kyrsten Sinema. So if they blow it, it's going to be enormously frustrating.
And because the Heidi Heitkamp is likely to lose in North Dakota, we think.
Yeah, she's definitely going
to
lose.
So if the Democrats have this narrow pathway to the Senate, it requires that every Democratic incumbent hold, and there's a good chance of that, the Joe Donnelly's, Joe Manchin, Claire McCaskill's, that they hold their seats, and the Jackie Rosen wins and Sinema wins in Arizona, and then O'Rourke or Bredesen in Tennessee wins, or O'Rourke in Texas, that one of those two has to happen, and the two women.
But they got to win Nevada and Arizona, and right now it's a tie in Arizona.
And basically
and
a tie in Arizona.
Slight lean. Yeah.
Both places are too close to call.
Can I very quickly ask, what races are you guys watching from the East Coast, like early on, that will show you how things might break?
Yeah, so
That's a great question.
There's a couple of things to watch. First of all, there's four seats in Virginia. Four House seats in Virginia that are competitive districts that Democrats think they can win all of. The second, the fifth, the seventh, and the tenth. The fifth is the toughest one for Democrats. But if they're competitive in the fifth, if they win the other three, it's a sign that things are probably going to be pretty well. If it's 2-2, then the night's going to be a nail biter. And if they lose 3 out of 4, then it's probably ends up being a much better day than expected for Trump. Also, there are a couple, because those districts are telling of other districts. They're like districts in Florida and Minnesota that are like those districts. And Virginia, the numbers will be in early in Virginia. And then both Missouri and New Hampshire are the two early states, and maybe the only two states in the country, but they're two states where the polls close relatively early. There's no early voting in those states. So whatever those numbers are reflective probably of the way the nation is closing, like what we're going to see on, you know, if Democrats are doing better in New Hampshire, and there are a couple of competitive seats there in New Hampshire, or competitive races in New Hampshire, that will sort of give an idea of how the weekend went. Did this rhetoric of Trump's have an effect on the weekend? Because even though these are local, these are 435 local elections for the House and 33 local elections for the Senate, it's still the United States of America. We actually do have a lot in common, even with the people, you know. And so if Trump's message powerfully got across and was like, you know what, that caravan actually does scare the crap out of me, then you might see that reflected in how things worked in those two states that have no early vote.
Yeah, and they say all politics is local. That's a statement from a million years ago. That's not true anymore at all. All politics is national. And so there's these huge national swings now. And so they happen every election cycle. So if it happens in Virginia, it's likely to happen in California. And Coburn is the one to watch out for in the 5th district in Virginia against Riggleman, the Bigfoot erotica enthusiast Republican who's running in that district.
He said, I'm running the right wing. I'm one of you nut jobs.
Yeah, right wing nut jobs. So that's Charlottesville, by the way. I mean, wow. How is that for symbolic?
Well, I spent the weekend in Charlottesville. Wow. I flew back from Charlottesville yesterday. I was there at the Virginia Film Festival. And, you know, it is this amazing place. I mean, it's this beautiful, you see why the Nazis picked it. Everybody I met there, they're so pissed, like, because they are so proud to be from Charlottesville, right?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's this beautiful place. It's incredibly progressive. It's smart. It's thoughtful. It's inclusive. So yeah, they went there for a very particular reason. But that district is a crazily drawn district. It covers Charlottesville, but then it's a district that should not exist. No reasonable person would ever have drawn a district like that.
Yeah, and so if Coburn wins, that's a really good sign.
It's a great sign. That's a great sign. That's right.
And then the last thing on that, such a good question. Then when you move to the middle of the country, there's two elections in Kansas that'll tell you, okay? So Kansas' 3rd district actually is a Hillary district, and they also voted for Bernie Sanders in the primary. So that's a shockingly progressive district in Kansas. But right now they have a Republican Congressman, Kevin Yoder, who's actually one of the most corrupt Republicans in Congress. The payday loan industry, which is the worst of the worst, they give him the most amount of money. So if Yoder holds onto his seat, that's bad news for Democrats.
Sure, the last poll in that race that came out on October 30th, polling done the 26th through 28th, you know, Sharice Davids is at like a big number there. She's up 12, 15.
Yeah, I've seen up 12, So Sharice Davids should beat Kevin Yoder. If she doesn't, that's big trouble, okay? And so, but in Kansas' 4th, James Thompson, was Mike Pompeo's old seat, who now, of course, the Secretary of State. It's a very red district. I think it was 26 points in favor of the Republicans in the past, but in a special election, he came within 6 points. And he's an excellent progressive populist fighter. He's a just Democrat. That's the progressive wing of the party. And if James Thompson wins, and by the way, it's also the Koch's home district, the Koch brothers. If James Thompson wins in Kansas 4, that means the Democrats are going to have a great night.
If James Thompson wins in the 4th district, we win the Senate.
And then we clean their house.
Yeah, that's right.
So those are the ones to watch out for, to give you some sense. And let's do the last, I know we're a little over time, but let's do the last two Senate races here. Indiana, my old friend Joe Donnelly, I can't stand.
Joe Donnelly, well, so the last two polls, again, this is a one out today, Donnelly by 2, but the number's really low, 43-41. A lot of people just can't make up their minds.
It's two Republicans running, so that makes sense.
43-42. I mean, it's not fair. I mean, I hear you. You're right. It's Joe Donnelly is incredibly conservative, but the flip side, that's why, because Lucy Brenton is taking some of those numbers. That's why the numbers are low there. So, yeah, he's up, a point or two or 3 points, Joe Donnelly. At least Joe Donnelly, he did come out strong against Kavanaugh. He did the exact opposite of, he said early, when there was a thought that the two Republicans, that Murkowski and Collins and Manchin and Donnelly were all going to vote as a block, that was reported. Mm-hmm. Couldn't have been less true. Donnelly early on was like, "Yeah, no, I'm voting against this guy."
Give him credit for that.
And Heitkamp did the same thing, and then.
Kidding aside, just in case you don't know, Joe Donnelly is the Democrat. He's the incumbent. The reason I say that is he's running ads basically insulting progressives, which is a terrible way to get out the vote, right? And hence, as an incumbent, but to be fair, it's Indiana. But I still think he should have a larger lead. But he's within about 2 points. If Donnelly messes that election up and he loses when he shouldn't, well, there goes the Senate.
Any chance of it.
Yeah.
Maybe gone anyway.
That's right. And then finally, Tennessee.
Tennessee had started to tilt for Marsha Blackburn, who was so shockingly stupid. Don't get me wrong, a lot of other stupid people too. It's just she's specifically
very anti-science.
Yeah. So there's a polling here. There were a bunch of the poll from somebody I don't know. The last two couple of polls from East Tennessee State University that came out 2 days ago, 44-44, and then a poll today, 49-49. So. That would indicate that her lead, before that, like at the beginning of the week, on November 1st, beginning of the month, she'd been up 8-4-1. So she had started to put a little distance there, but at least the last two polls have been tied.
So, okay, now I might be this way.
Bredesen, regarding Kavanaugh, sorry, real quick, Bredesen, for no reason at all, like no one asked him, didn't make any difference, right? At the sort of break point as we were waiting to hear from Susan Collins, Phil Bredesen, and former governor of Tennessee, again, a conservative Democrat or establishment Democrat, picked to run thinking they can take that seat, Bob Corker's seat. He just decided to come out and say, I'd vote for Kavanaugh. Well, I just want to be clear.
Yeah.
Like, hey man, stay in your house, right? You know, nobody, yeah. Like,
no just, one was asking.
You don't have to say I'd vote against him. You know, if somebody had asked and he'd felt compelled, I would have told him to say, the whole thing sickens me. The whole thing sickens me. I was persuaded by her testimony, and I just hate the whole thing. I can't wait to go to Washington and straighten it out. Thanks, I'll see you guys later. That's it, right? You're fine. That's how you get out of that.
Speculative theory, is that hurt him in the polls because it caused a lot of Democrats to go, well, then what am I going to put you into office for if you're going to vote with Trump and Kavanaugh, right? So, but now there's been some distance between him saying that and today.
Yeah, right. And so maybe it's.
And a lot of times people get frustrated, but then they think, what am I going to do? Let Marsha Blackburn win?
Right?
She's one of the more conservative candidates in the whole country. So that might be some Democrats coming back home to vote for Bredesen. So,
it's a tough. But that said, it's it's almost required if Democrats are going to win the Senate. That's why the number percentage is so low. Phil Bredesen or Bredesen, he or Beto O'Rourke really have to win. One of those two has to win.
Yeah, and Beto is down by about 6 points, but as we talked about earlier in the show, huge upswing in early voting in Texas and a lot of young people voting.
There was new voters, correct?
Yeah, that's
also supposed to be something there was a crazy number.
Four polls in Texas, a couple of University of Texas polls at the end of October had Cruz by 4, both of them. Then a poll at the first of the month had Cruz by 3 from Emerson, and then a poll today had it tied. So
tied. I didn't see that poll.
I got it. I hate to cherry pick. Cruz is the favorite, but it is nice to at least see a tied poll.
Okay, I have a speculative theory on that too. Okay, and this is a good thing to end on. Maybe it was you guys who did it. because what we did was we asked the Young Turks audience to fund an ad against Ted Cruz. And
how do you do that? How do you have nothing to choose from?
yeah, so we ran a pretty vicious ad against Ted Cruz. And we think we've labeled that race Beto versus Beta, because he's a beta male who's just serving Trump after Trump insulted his wife.
Total beta male.
Yeah.
So how can you support that?
Exactly. That's the whole point of the ad. I don't know if you guys have it. Maybe we could run it. I know you don't have it, but you could pull it up maybe. I know. How's that for a curveball then? Anyway,
the control booth.
The moral of the story is.
Yeah. I didn't know. So, there's only two guys in there, but there were like four people shaking their heads. Like can't do it. Nope, not going to happen. Yeah.
Okay. So, well, we stopped raising money for that ad because the election's tomorrow. But I want to let you guys know semifinal results on how many people it reached. It reached over 600,000 people on Facebook and about right around 600,000 on YouTube. So you guys gave around $25,000. And for $25,000, we reached 1.2 million people in Texas.
Wow.
And that's not so bad at all, okay?
That's
so,
not bad at all.
So
I'll take that return.
Yeah. I'm not saying we made up the 6-point difference. I'm just saying it's 1.2 million people.
Also, I would I'll be your Stephen Miller right now.
Okay.
Jank. As Stephen Miller sounds, he probably does sound like that.
Obviously, right? Yeah. Press the president.
Young Mr. Burns.
If Beto O'Rourke wins, that's why. And you claim it and you own it.
Right? That's right. And Ben and I, this is another one last curveball. Ben and I are going to do a post game. Okay, so stick around if you're a member for that. TYT.com/join to become a member. Today we launched TYT.com/sponsor. So if you want to buy the gift of membership for other people, either people who can't afford it, or we give you a toolkit to help you figure out how to give it out, or to your family members. Hey, I got 5 family members. They got brainwashed by Fox News. I'm gonna give them Young Turks membership instead. That helps Home of Progressives, helps get the message out, and it gives that message to others as well. So try to do that on tyt.com/sponsor. We'd appreciate it. So let's watch the Ted Cruz ad real quick.
This is Ted Cruz. That's him phone banking for Donald Trump after Trump called his wife ugly. Look at him. What kind of a man does that? Oh yeah, Trump also said his father was probably a murderer. He made calls on behalf of Trump after being unmanned by him. You're looking at the saddest man in America, Ted Cruz 2018. Pathetic.
That's so signing up for an award. I'll vote for it.
That is brutal.
Yeah, I talked to somebody from Capitol Hill over the weekend. They're like, "Oh, we saw that ad."
I've heard people say too that like men in Texas are so offended by he was just totally emasculated by Trump. It's just offensive.
It was like watching Trump also next to Putin. Yeah. Yeah, it was that same kind of thing where you're feeling. Oh my goodness, you're like, this is total emasculation.
It's so gross.
That exactly.
It's gross.
Exactly.
That's
right.
Exactly it.
Yeah. And unfortunately, Beto's wonderful in a lot of ways and very progressive, et cetera. And he ran an amazing campaign, but he's not the kind of guy to run that ad, right?
Right.
So we had to run it for him. Yeah. So, man, tomorrow, okay, guys, so the coverage is 1 p.m. Eastern to probably at least 1 a.m. And so we're going to be on for 12 hours. John Iderola and I started at 10 a.m. With a damage report. We got a bunch of great guests coming on for you guys. But I just want you to just think about this, okay? If Ted Cruz loses tomorrow night, that's like one of those moments like when you know where you were when Mike Tyson got knocked out. Right?
Yeah,
right. Exactly. Yeah. And hopefully you'll be right here at tyt.com/live. But I guarantee you this place will explode.
Who would be, what would be the greatest? What year we were asked this, I think a show you weren't on. What's the, if you, it doesn't mean other things can't happen, but if you can have one thing tomorrow, what is it? Like, what's the great thing tomorrow? If you can pick one race, which one do you pick? Like it just fills you with great joy.
So hard, because I want Ojeda to win so bad to be an example for how you run a race. I want James Thompson to take the Koch brothers home district. That would be amazing. Amar Kampanijar taking Duncan Hunter Jr.'s seat in California after Duncan Hunter Jr. not only is corrupt, but ran such a bigoted campaign, calling basically Amar Kampanijar a terrorist because he's half Palestinian, even though he's a Christian, you know, saying he's a radical Muslim. I mean, that was one of the most racist races in the whole country. If he lost, and then there's Gillum and Abrams.
And Abrams?
And then those there's those, Ted
yeah,
Cruz.
Yeah.
It's Gillum and Abrams for me.
Yeah, me too.
Abrams would be so sweet, especially to run against the guy that's overseen his own election and who has completely suppressed the vote, and to beat him would be such a great, like, middle finger in his face.
It would be great, but I didn't know. Which one? DeSantis
Abrams.
Or Abrams? But I didn't know. The reason why I think I'm going to go with Beto is because I didn't know who Brian Kemp was. I want to give him the middle finger, but like Ted Cruz, I've wanted to give the middle finger for some time, right?
Yeah.
And so that one I think would feel a little better. But I mean, Abrams, Cruz losing, and Gillum, like those are the big three. I mean, if those three, that trifecta happened.
What time do you guys start drinking on set tomorrow?
Well, if
depends on how things are.
That's
going.
Right. If Yoder beat Sharice Davids, right around Kansas is when we start drinking, but not in the right way.
Right.
There are plenty of right wingers on Twitter. They love to refer to our coverage of the 2016 election because it's the night got, you know, and none of us were really big Hillary fans either, but we were obviously, you know, we did not want the disaster that happened to happen, and as the night went on, you know, and we're seeing, I don't know if you guys are paying attention, but the New York Times had this thing that, like, they open with, you know, 87% chance it's Hillary. They were much more bullish than other people. And then, like, you know, 30 minutes in, it was 77% Hillary. Then it was 71, 68, ooh, back to 70. And then 66, 62, 58, 54. And then, and so progressively throughout, I'd be like, Cenk, it's 47. It's 39, and so the conservatives, they love.
They got remix tapes.
Yeah, they got remix tapes.
They've gone platinum.
Yeah. They love.
I think I'm going with Gillum to address it.
Yeah, Gillum.
I think I'm going with Gillum. It's either Abrams, Gillum, or Beto. And there's something about Florida because they always end up determining a presidential race.
Yeah, right.
And they have that other awesome thing on the ballot to re-enfranchise voters.
Yep.
And I believe, I think that for them it's Prop 4, is it?
I think that's right. I think it's Prop 4.
Yeah. 1.4 million people.
Come on, man. And I think if you get Gillum, And I think if you get Gillum and that prop to double up, it bodes very well for the future of the country.
And I was right.
There is a
ballot measure in Florida that would enable the state to ban offshore drilling and restrict vaping in restaurants. It's the same vote. It's the craziest.
When
it's
I think of
great
offshore
Florida
drilling,
thing.
I mean, vaping indoors. That makes sense.
Right. Just imagine if you want to be able to vape indoors, but you hate offshore drilling.
What do you do?
Where do you go, man?
You're
what do you
really
do?
Torn.
Yeah,
meltdown.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's right.
I hope that doesn't throw a curveball into Gillum's race. Okay, so my final answer of all those races is, so, and now Brian Kemp, by the way, now that I know who he is, is maybe one of the worst guys in the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's cheated in four different ways. I can't stand the guy. Having said all that, to be able to say the sentence, down goes Cruz, down goes Cruz. Oh, that was just too good to pass up. So I got that at number one.
Nice. Yeah.
All right. So we find out tomorrow, guys. So same bad channel, slightly different bad time. 1 p.m. Eastern, tyt.com/live. Rob, Omar, thank you so much for joining us.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Please
thank
vote, you. Everybody. Please.
Yeah. Yeah, just go vote. No matter what you vote for, who you vote for, go vote.
You got to vote. All right. Ben and I will be back for the post game for the members. tyt.com/join to become a member. All right. We'll see you there.